World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there from Lima, Ohio. That's Lima with a long I. It's not Lima. Lima, Ohio, home of Mike Spaulding, who I got a chance to see last night. See, I'm looking over. Where am I? I'm on my phone today, folks. Things about to get real here in the good old U.S. of A. I apologize. I got one of my old hats on today. We're down here doing this tornado relief, and we're going to take communion and give you a heads up. Go get a wafer and something to drink. Joe's going to lead us in communion here. It's about to get real, folks. About to get real. I'll throw this in here real quickly for a stream of consciousness sort of here this morning. I miss my wife. She's not with me. She's, love you, honey. Waking up here in the morning. We have about maybe 10 of us. I can't remember. 10 of us were part of the team yesterday, and more coming in. Today's, of course, is the weekend starts, so they can get away today and tomorrow. And I'm going to give you kind of a breakdown on that when we get rolling after the communion and all that stuff. I just want to tell you something, man. Supernatural, so real. It's just so real. And I was talking to one of the guys, a guy that owns quite a few properties yesterday, doesn't know the Lord. We prayed with him last night to receive the Lord, whether he did or not. You don't know, but folks, you know what it is. We have, I'm talking about us now, us Christians, so-called Christians. We have so little understanding really of what the gospel is all about. We really don't understand it. And here's this poor guy who he told the story last night. He told us yesterday afternoon, real briefly, of, he lives right on the lake, owns a lot of property. Asked him what it was like, and he said, he lives with his dad, and he and his dad went inside they didn't have a basement, so they went inside the inner room, which is what you do, went into the bathroom. They had two dogs. He said, my dad and I were huddling in our bathroom and with our two dogs, and boy, he said, you could hear the thing coming down on us. He said, next thing you know, dad and I are in that bathroom, and boom, our roof disappears. I said, what? He said, I looked up, and it's raining in on us and that kind of stuff. Man, he's open to the gospel. He's open to the gospel. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. He has no understanding of the gospel. No understanding. I asked him, if you'd have died in that thing. He said, well, I was thinking I probably was going to die. I said, if you'd have died, where would you have gone? He just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? Where I'd gone? He said, I'd have been dead. I said, oh, no, I get that. You'd have been dead, but where would you be? Your personality, where would you be? He had no real understanding of what I was talking about. And I really think that, as Tim Tuber would say, just the nuts and bolts of Christianity, I don't even know if we really, the average person really knows, really understand it, you always see that a lot when you come out, and the gospels that we try to put the gospel front and center, but man, what is it we've done in church that we've made it so much about legalism and people not even understand how the grace of God and, I'm stream of consciousness this morning. That show that we did on what day is today? Friday would have been Wednesday's show where we talked about being born again, how you're born. That was a powerful show, wasn't it? I went back and listened to a little bit of that. The gospel is so simple, and we make it so complex. People don't get it, man. They don't get it, and see it more and more. Indian Lake is a little bit different than this event here is a little bit different than any I've been part of. In that picture, this. Sorry, we'll get to communion here in just a second. I just want to lay some groundwork for you. I live in. I live at Buckeye Lake, and in Buckeye Lake, we got like five little towns around it. All of them about 2,000 people, maybe. Hebron, Buckeye Lake, Millersport, Thornville, Thornport, Fairfield Beach, all these little towns around it. Well, that's what it's like here. And you know where I live, Buckeye Lake government and Millersport government, they work together. I don't know. They're on the other side of the lake. And does Millersport work with Thornville? I don't know. They're clear at the other side of the lake. So there's no real central, like, big city, big town, big government thing. There just really isn't anything like that out here. And so they're so ill-prepared on how to take care of themselves. They're doing the best they can. Usually when we come down, you know, you can go to some place and they say, look, they need help here and they need help here. And it's really kind of hard for us to find what I'd call a clearinghouse, a place for us to go. And so we labored a little bit in the morning trying to find some good place really to plug in. Then in the afternoon we found some, and then we'll get more today. So just appreciate all of you sending us out here. Appreciate that the folks that are here. And man, oh man, oh man, the devastation is, I mean, it's, you go and they got, like, you know, campers, house trailers. They're just gone. They're just gone. Gone. And so there aren't a lot of people around because the people who lived in those places aren't there. Where did they go? There aren't any real towns around. Where did they go? They've probably gone to Lima. Maybe they've gone to Wapakoneta. Who knows where they are? So it's a little bit different in that aspect. Of usually we go to somebody and say, hey, can we clean this out of your yard? Can we do this? And there isn't anybody there. So we're working hard, doing good. And just, again, thanks all of you for sending us. And we're lifting up the name of the Lord. Hey, Joe, if you would, let's get Joe in here. Lead us in communion. I got some good stuff I want to discuss with you today. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry, I got my old Coach Hey Dave hat on. I got my old sweatshirt on. As soon as we're done, we got to get rolling and get back over 9 o'clock appointment. We'll meet with a guy and get our plans made for the day. So thanks, Joe. Come on in, brother.
Thank you, Coach. And I knew you guys would be there this week.
Joe, we've done disasters all across America, and this is the first time in my home state really I've had the opportunity to do that. And you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, they happen down south. They can go down to Alabama and down to New Orleans and all that. This first time, man, right here in Ohio. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for this privilege. And let me get us started with a few verses reminding us a bit of why communion is important and what the gospel is all about. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Well,
for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Amen.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you with gratitude in our hearts For you've seen fit to fill our lungs and have our hearts beating, and let us be here together today with this modern miracle of technology that lets us meet from all parts of this great nation that you have blessed us with. And Lord, we come to you in a time of adversity, where coaches in Indian Lake people are needing you, Lord. And some of them, a lot of them don't even know you. But they know they need something, and they also know that they don't understand everything that's going on, but they know that they are cold and they're wet in the morning, and they have things hitting them that they weren't prepared for. So, Lord, please help Coach and his team to be fully aware and fully understanding where the Holy Spirit wants to guide them to be, who he wants them to meet with, what he wants them to do. Let them hear his voice, Lord. Let them hear his voice, and we know they will be obedient, Lord, because they love you, and they also know that lives are at stake. Lives are always at stake, Lord, but in times like this, it's even more clear that that is the case. And in this adversity, Lord, please let there be a silver lining, Lord, that community becomes knitted together in a way that it has not been before. And in this knitting process, and with Coach and his team and other similar teams going to this stricken area, let them find and receive you at the same time, because they need you so much. And also, Lord, we come to you in communion, and we are looking at ourselves, and we're pondering what things we have done wrong, and we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness for the things we have said and the things we have not said that we should have said, the things we have done or the things we have not done that we should have done. And Lord, we ask you to help us to take captive our thoughts, and we ask you to bless the bread and the drink representing the body of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us so many, many days ago. And please help days like this to help us better understand you, better be able to hear your voice and move forward. Thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Boy, we don't understand the gospel. Tim Tuber is so on, man. We really don't. We really don't. Great to be here. Paul, if you real quickly, the number 3 special, just pull up my Facebook page. I want to show you all just a couple really short videos that I try to do some YouTube videos, just keep you abreast of what's going on. There's 2 of them up there, Spencer. Just play one after the other. I think one's 3 minutes. The other's like, just so people get a feel where we are. Yeah, that one there is a good one. Place. Good start.
Hey, it's Coach Dave. Just wanted to give you just another view of what's going on. We're at the marina at Indian Lake. And Let me turn this around, just try to explain to you a little bit what's going on. These are like portable little cottages set here on the right at the marina. People lived in them, or they rented them, or whatever they did with them. And it's unbelievable, the destruction, the mess, everything that's going on. But I want to show you what's going on. This is the way it's supposed to be, right? Just boots on the ground, just men and women that, you know, none of us, we're not from Indian Lake. We don't know these people. But the call went out that some relief efforts were needed in Indian Lake. A lot of these people who own these homes, they're not even here. And get a kick out of this one. Some guy lost himself a lot of beer. And we're cleaning all this stuff up. We're dragging it out. I'm sorry, buddy. We're dragging it all out. This is everywhere. We drag it out. We put it into a tractor. We take it down the road. We dump it where somebody else is going to pick up. Now, this, right, there's old Bob Evans. So this here used to look like this, right? Every one of these houses, it's like this. So you can't wait for FEMA to show up. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel, come get the work done, make new friends, great camaraderie. You come down here, look at these houses have all been knocked off of their foundations, the windows broken, shattered. And again, just want to thank all of you for helping us come and do this. The boathouses over there, I mean, there are boats in some of them, but they're basically, roofs are torn off of them. Boats are inside of them. You got all down through here, trees. I said that it was an F3 tornado that came through here. It was 1,000 yards wide. It's 10 football fields wide. The length of 10 football fields, not a football field across it. The length of 10 football fields is on the ground for 31 minutes here at Indian Lake. Indian Lake is a scene you should make with your little one. Just keep it in mind if you're looking to find a place in the summer sun. Remember that, folks? Remember that song? The Cowsons sang that? So that's what we're doing. We'll be here the next 3 days or whatever. We thank all of you for helping us come and help these folks out. God bless you.
Let me focus in here a second. Look, I got a lot of stuff I could do. I want to try to make this a flea flicker Friday in some extents. Here's one that was really kind of a profound moment for me personally. And I remember Hurricane Katrina, some of the places we've gone, the messes that we've run into. And out in front of this guy's house, we made a joke about this guy, literally the beer cans that were laying on the ground that he must have had stored at his house or whatever it is. And I'm standing and I'm looking at, and then there were some coasters. You know what coasters are? You set a beer on. And then there were other little things laying around. And I'm sitting around and I'm thinking, you know what? We don't have any idea how important that little thing, that little coaster, maybe they got that at their son's graduation. Maybe they got that when they went to Hawaii on a vacation. We don't even have any idea the significance of that stupid little thing laying on the ground, that when they come back here, they might be looking for that, and how hard it is to try to go through and analyze what's important in somebody else's life. You know what I'm saying? So, well, that's just a piece of junk. It isn't to them. I'll never forget what my buddy Norm Emmett told me. He used to do a lot of moving. And when he was younger, he was worked as a mover. And he said that one of the things that they always said was, when you're moving somebody else's stuff, you better remember this one thing. I hope I get this right, Coach Norm. He said, it may just be junk to you, but it's everything to them. Man. The finality of the destruction of everything they own, so hit me yesterday. You look down, there lays this little necklace, and here lays this picture, and here lays these coasters, and meant the world to them. junk to me. Come along with the skid steer and load her up and kick her out. And when all their memories, their kid, their son gave that to them, that was the momentum that was the little thing that was made when their son was in the fifth grade and they saved it. And man, the finality of realizing that the things in this world, wow, how we are so possessed by the things of this world, and everything those people had is gone, baby. It's gone. It's sobering. That's why I say people at a time like this, they are so open to the gospel, because everything they built their life on and accumulated and worked hard to get is gone. It's a great, great gospel moment. It impacts me. It impacts all of us to come and see it and do it. Play the next video real quick. It's only 3 minutes. Just to kind of give you a feel for what it is we're doing.
Hey friends, Coach Dave here. Just want to give you an update a little bit. We're at the heart of the tornado that hit Indian Lake. In fact, I think was it a week ago today? I think we're at the marina. Hang on, Betty. I'm doing a little video here. Just walking by, just kind of show you. This community's really been devastated, as you can probably imagine. This is debris just floating in the water from everything. You look back here, the houses. But, you know, this is an Indian Lake because it is a lake. There are a lot of campers, there's a lot of mobile homes, a lot of that kind of stuff. The destruction is really, as you probably can imagine, is really something to see. Stuff up in the trees everywhere. And I think one of the lessons, let me give you a little bit here, idea of what we're trying to work with here in this one little area that we just walked into. Look at all the roofs blown off of these boat houses back in here. Debris. There's just debris everywhere. And, you know, it seemed to hit just like a small swath through town, although they said this tornado was on the ground. Grab me one of those, Dave. I'll take one. They said it was on it was a thousand yards wide. The tornado was 1,000 yards wide. It was on the ground for, about 31 miles, 31 miles. And so everywhere you come here, there's something to be done, something to be done. So we're here, we're doing the best we can, chipping in where we can. Be honest with you, some of the relief's not real organized. Just Dave all the way from Michigan's come down. So we just want to thank all of you that have supported us, and wow, makes you appreciate everything you have. God bless you.
Amen. All right, now we'll move on. You guys say, I'm tired of watching those videos. Well, it's what we're doing. And again, if you want to help us out, you can go to CoachDaveLive.com and kick a few bucks in there. And again, I thank all of you out there who we had a tremendous day yesterday financially. We took in probably in the neighborhood, I don't know for sure, maybe $6,000 yesterday. So we'll do the best we can. See, one of the problems, I've never seen anything like this. There aren't a lot of people here, folks. They're not here. And because it's such a small community and the trailers and all that stuff, everything that got blown away, where did they go? Where are they? I don't know. So we're trying to plug in with some churches, some different things today to see what we can do. So let me open it up, turn into kind of a flea flicker Friday if we can. You know, again, I said, and I really believe that this whole thing is really, it's coming to a head. It's coming to a head. The Lord is doing a shaking. And it's not just here. But pull up for me, illegals on the border. Did you guys see this yesterday? Did you see this? This is the National Guard. Now, stop a minute. What's the difference between this and J6? Are they going to throw all these guys in? Are they going to throw all these people in jail? All these illegals in jail? It's just a short brief thing. I think Bobby put it together. Go ahead and play that real quick. This is the border. Yeah. Okay, you can cut it off. So the invaders are storming. They're storming the border. And think what happened to the J6ers when they were accused of really doing the same thing at the U.S. government. See, there's a difference between attacking America and attacking the U.S. government, isn't it? That's becoming more and more obvious. Play number five for me real quick, too. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Play number six. Friends, it's about to get real. It's about to get real. Look, this is going to be really, really difficult. Well, don't play that. I'm going to tell you why, Spence. Because not everybody can see it. I can't see it. And it's got subtitles underneath it that make it make sense. So we'll show that to you later on. One other thing. I just want to brag on this one, okay? And then go out. Look, I'm going to open it up. I want to hear from you. Pull up number seven. Somebody sent this to me today. Blew me away. And I started reading this. Can you make it a little bit bigger, Spencer? It's a title of this, newswithviews.com, Defy the Bastards. When was that written, Spencer? Why, that was written March 22nd, 2012. Is that something? Is that something? Now, this has to do with the fact, the whole article, I'm not going to read it. The whole article has to do with Roe versus Wade and that we continue to follow an unconstitutional mandate killing our babies. That's basically what this article is about. It's really, it's good. It's refreshing. And thank golly, 12 years. And now abortion is no longer legal. And we're still, it's unbelievable. All right. Come in there and rescue me. I got 33 minutes to fill. Let me hear from you. Somebody's got a I can't see it. So call them in for me, Spencer, somebody. Who does? All right, Craig, come on in, bud.
Thanks, Coach. Spencer, could you pull up 1 Corinthians, New King James, chapter 3, verses 9 through 15? Coach, I spent 30 years in the fire department, and it was amazing that I would go to these calls, and the guy got on a 35-foot ladder and thought he could trim a tree, and now he's dead, and yeah. People's houses burned up, and I thought, wow. I bet you they never thought that was going to be today, but sometimes today is today.
It is.
And then after I retired, because I had a Class A license, a guy I knew who had he would do auctions. He said, "Hey, could you drive my tractor trailer part time? We get these estate sales and stuff, and I need people to pick up." So I would go, and this guy would have a garage, and he'd have a reconditioned 57 Chevy and this one in this mode and all this, and they'd put it on the back of the tractor trailer, and he's gone. And I just looked at it, and I was like, and this verse always stuck in my mind about these two events that I witnessed as a firefighter and as someone who, once they're die, all their stuff, what is it? And I'm going to read it here. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another one builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but to him will be saved, yet so as through fire." So what I really got in my heart over these years is wood, hay, and stubble.
It is, brother.
and do I have things that are just going to be given, sold at 90% off from what I bought it for, or destroyed in some sort of thing? Or will my life be what people remember that hopefully I fed into them?
Wow.
And somehow they saw Christ in me. And somehow that we'll be able to talk about it in eternity.
Wood, hay, and stubble, Craig, everywhere we looked. And like I said, my old buddy Norm. Don't mean nothing to you. Means the world to them. I don't know how many times I said that yesterday as we were walking around picking stuff up. Because, you know, we're throwing stuff into the trash, Craig. And to us, it's just trash. But if the person was there looking over their shoulder, they would be digging in there and they'd be pulling this out and pulling this out and pulling this out. And, oh, my God, I got that for my son. And, well, I mean, it's heartbreaking. But Craig's right, man. Hay, wood, and stubble. What is it? What is it you're leaving? What's the legacy that you're leaving behind? Is your life just a pile of stuff that you accumulated that when they throw you into the ground, they're going to come with a bulldozer and your children, your grandchildren, they're just going to start throwing stuff into the pile and burning it all up? And man, it can be gone in a wink of an eye, in an instant, a flash of a, it can be gone. Be gone. Tomorrow's promised to no man, the scripture says, right? What is life? It's but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. It's here and it's gone. I look out, I'm sitting right in front of the hotel window. I look out, so calm out here. Boy, it wasn't a week ago. It wasn't a week ago. Wow. Crazy. This kind of stuff impacts you, folks, when you see it. Who's up next in there? Bring him in, please. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, guys. I was just listening, and I don't know if you remember this song about "That's Just the Lumber You Sent."
I don't remember. When a guy
there's a song. A guy gets dies and goes up to heaven, and he's walking around looking at all the mansions and stuff. And then God was showing him these different places, and he gets to his place, and it's like this little broken down kind of a shack. And he's like, wait a minute, why does mine not look like that? And he goes, well, that's all the lumber you sent.
Amen.
And I looked at that, and you said something that stirred me. It's a verse, Coach. I read this the fall before COVID hit. The Lord put on my heart that there was a shaking going on. Mm. And it's from Hebrews 12, and I'm going to start at verse 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this once more indicates, now this is the key right here, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. That the things which cannot be shaken, and here's the kicker, may remain.
Right. Amen. So
therefore, and we're gonna remember where we see a therefore, see what it's there for. So we look at that. It is, you know, so I always look back up there, and in my paraphrased mind, I think of God shaking everything in order that what cannot be shaken remains. And here's where it comes there. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken,
amen, boy,
let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And I think the things that, you know, each one of us in life, we go through these shaking times. And you know, we all do. And it's how do we come through those shaking times? And I know when I face a new one, I can draw back on some times that God's taken me through those times, because the kingdom, where is the kingdom of God, Dave, for all of us who are saved?
It's within us. Yep.
Yeah. Right. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the midst of these things, we're going to find that we're going to find the righteousness, the right standing with God. It's a thing of where God is now. It's that continual growth with him. There's a peace. There's a shalom that it's not just like everything's around you is peace, but everything within you is peace.
Mm.
It's the kicker. See, the guys were in the boat with Jesus. You know, but there was a storm going outside all around the boat, but Jesus was asleep in the boat. And it wasn't because Jesus was tired. It was the peace. He is the Prince of Peace. They were with the Prince of Peace, but the key was they needed the Prince of Peace in them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's why they could be martyred later on, because they had that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then the joy of the Lord which we all, this is something the Lord's been really speaking to me about, because I think this is where Satan tries to steal it. And, you know, he can't take it. I think we have to give it away. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But it's not me being joyful. It's the joy of the Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm. It says, when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we walk in faith, trusting Christ. And that's, you know, it's easy sometimes to say, or people to hear, and myself to think, in a day where it's calm and you're kind of reading and things, but when the tornado hits or the bills come in or somebody's knocking at your door or you get the telephone call from the doctor or whatever the different things are, that's where the Christian cliches end. And then you find out what's inside you that isn't shaken.
Amen. Rubber meets road.
Yeah. God bless you, Coach. Praying for y'all.
Amen. Thanks, Tom. Because Tom's a pastor, I don't want him to take this wrong. This thought came to me, and I said it yesterday, and I want to say it again, because I think this is really critical for all of us, folks. The local church here in Indian Lake, although Indian Lake is the lake, houses around it, or the cities around, towns are around it. The local church, think about you. I'm talking to all of you out there now, every one of you out there. They were in no way, shape, or form prepared. The churches had not, in their minds, prepared themselves to be a sanctuary if something like this ever hit. They weren't thinking about it at all. They had no vision at all for the community. They had a vision for the community, but when the calamity hit, the church had not had any pre-thought at all about what will we do for our community. If this hits, what will we do? So I'm saying to all pastors out there and all of you out there right now, in your communities, are you going to wait till it hits to figure out, man, somebody's got to do something, or are you going to begin now to organize for when it hits, you will be ready? So there are churches, not a lot of churches, but the churches are here. Some of them are open, but see, they weren't prepared. They never dreamed this would happen. If they knew it was going to happen, if the Lord had said to them, hey, going to be a tornado there in 6 weeks, well, they'd have got plans. They'd had things mapped out of how to help neighbors. And because they weren't prepared, never thought it was going to happen, they really were of no use. We got to be really, really vigilant. You are the church where you live. You got to start looking at that. You are it. When all hell breaks loose, you have to be that beacon of peace that Tom was just talking about. We can't wait till it hits to be strong. We have to be prepared for when it hits so we can be strong. The church has to do that. The church is the only answer in these times, not the government, not FEMA, not the CDC. It's the body of Christ, and the church has yielded all that power, all that authority, and all that responsibility to somebody else. And when crap hits the fan, there ain't somebody else. Take that as a warning. It's important for all of your own, even in your own families. You got to be that man. You got to build that ark, because the day's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. Somebody else, bring somebody.
Hey, it seems like some of these churches, they've traded their all that for the fleeting thing of prosperity.
Right. Well, that's right. They never traded. They never dreamed it would come. If they knew it was going to come, they'd have been prepared. They'd had stuff stored. They'd have been ready to help their community. Where are the Christians? Where are they? Well, they've all been what everybody else is, fending for themselves. No preparation. Isn't there something in there about the wise virgin? The wise virgin who kept her lamp trimmed? Are our lamps trimmed, folks? Is your lamp trimmed? Calamity in your neighborhood? Calamity in your family? Is your lamp trimmed? And I'd say the answer is probably no, they're not. But they're not. It's human nature, right? And then when that calamity hits us, we're sprawled back. And who better in your community to make a difference than you? You don't wait for some government agent to come pulling in. Somebody else, come on in. I can't see the hands up, so somebody hands up.
Hey, Coach, this is Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the clouds are the dust of his feet.
Right.
And so immediately I go to prayer and with God to say, well, Lord, what was your will? Why did this happen? And this is what came to me. That area by Indian Lake and Logan, that was the last lamb that the Indians owned before they were expelled from Ohio. And what the whites did to Chief Logan was one of the most treacherous things you'll ever hear about in Ohio history. And well, since you know, the big accusation they had against the Indians is they massacred women and children. And what's happened here recently is that they legalized abortion, which turns us into a bunch of hypocrites for why we justified slaughtering the Indians.
That's right.
And way it's coming to me is that the Lord is showing us, you know, our hypocrisy by attacking us in those two places.
Amen. Hey, what goes around comes around, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen, Carl. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Somebody else?
Well, another point, Dave, about like this disaster relief, you know, when you're seeing all that stuff laying out there, I can remember, you know, years ago when we went down to New Orleans area out there, and all the people were pushing all their stuff there to the curb, just the trash and stuff, the debris and everything they were disposing of. Yet two or three days before that, if you'd have tried to get that stuff from them, they probably would have shot you, you know?
That's right.
We love our stuff until we don't, and still our stuff becomes a burden. And if we look at this, is our stuff being a burden now spiritually to us, and we don't even realize it?
So, Chad, I was walking around there yesterday, folks. They're like campers at the marina, okay? Where I've shown the video, and some of those houses are blown apart and all that stuff. Here's what you would see: you would walk in there. And the door would be blown open, the windows would be broken, so you could look inside the buildings that were still remaining. So you stick your head and look in there. What do you see in there? You see a couch that's been rained on. You see a bed that's been rained on. And you know what it is? It's all a burden. Those people are going to have to come back, and now they're going to say, golly, what are we going to do with all this crap in there? We're going to clean all of that out. See, the day before, they would have killed you if you came by to try to do something with it. And now all of that stuff they have has become a millstone around their neck, a burden. They're going to have to clean it out, and what are they going to do with it? And boy, the lessons of life, man, in a calamity like this are just like, oh my goodness, my goodness. Hey, do me a favor real quick. Pull up number one, love verse. Joanne's got her hand up. Come on in, Joanne. It says Joanne and one more. I don't know who the other one is. Come on in, Joanne.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment. Back in 78, we had a trailer fire. It took everything. And out of that terrible mess, and I know you guys don't know what these people have, but my wedding dress was saved. My great grandmother's bread bowl was saved. So those little things that, you know, you're looking at and say, if you see a picture, set it aside.
Yeah. Okay?
Put it on their porch. Put it on their step.
Yep.
That means a lot to them.
It really does. I'm telling you, it does. What's that say, Norm? Don't mean nothing to you. It means the world to them. Man, oh, man, the things that some of those people are worrying about right now who aren't there, I wonder if this was lost. I wonder if that was lost. How will I replace this? Not couches, not beds. Those little lifetime mementos don't mean nothing to me, but means the world to them. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I think Chad, Tom, Craig, they really had good points, Coach, in a time like this because it comes back to what is your priority? Is it your spiritual position with God, or is it your physical things, your material things? Is the natural world? And what I think we all need to see here, Coach, and we need to practice this, is that we need to take care of the spiritual temple first. You know, not be selfish. And I'm not talking about making it about me, but taking care of our spiritual life. Getting that in order. And then what's Matthew 6:33, Coach? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and then all these things will be added to you. We get it out of order, Coach. We get the we think the church is the building, and it's not. Church, a lot of times God's trying to get rid of the walls, the stone, the building, the lumber, and say, now be the church. Get rid of the building. Don't let that be the central gathering. But be the church outside the walls. And if we're spiritually in tune with God, Coach, we can be. But if we're not, we can't. And these times like this, and especially what's coming, is going to reveal everything. It's going to reveal all the fake, the phony, and the shallow. And it's going to make us find a spiritual relationship again. And that's what's coming, and that's what we need to see in these times is be prepared. That's the preparation. Get your spirit, life, and man in order. And then when all these things come, Coach, you can deal with them. That righteousness, peace, and joy that is the kingdom, that's what comes out of you. It's not fear and worry and doubt and what am I going to do. It's the things of God, the kingdom of God in you.
Amen, Randy. Amen. And, you know, again, another thing that a calamity like this does is it has the effect of not sweating the little things. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, there's probably more unity in this community than there's ever been in, because people aren't worrying about politics. They're not worrying about, you know, the stuff that separates us. The enemy's so good at that separation. And, all this stuff gets knocked out from under you, and you get down to the grunt of what really is all about. I pulled up on the screen the love verses. Lord put this on my heart this morning. Well, that sounds religious, doesn't it? Somehow this thing was on my heart. I woke up with this morning. So I want to share it with you. 1 Corinthians 13, they call it the love verse. Remember, God is love, right? God's love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So you can talk Christianity, religion, all you want to, folks. Talk it all you want to. You're just a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and I got this thing all figured out, and I know got my hermeneutics down, and got all that kind of stuff. Now, I have all the faith that you could ever want. So I could move a mountain, man, with what I believe, because I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus and I know the Bible from the inside out. But if you ain't got love, you are nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, now I give my body to be burned, I don't have love. What's a profit me? And profit me nothing. Because love suffereth long. It is kind. It envieth not. Love doesn't envy. Love does not puff itself up. It does not vaunt itself up. It does not think I'm better than everybody else. Love does not behave itself unseemly and seeking not her own, is not easily provoked. Love doesn't think about evil things. Love doesn't rejoice in sin, but love rejoices in truth. And love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Love never fails. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Huh? I sit here thinking right now, my wife would never leave me, never forsake me. I know till my last dying breath of my lungs, that girl will be right there with me. Why? Because she loves me. Man, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies and prophets and fortune tellers and hermeneutics and hydemeutics, and whether there be prophecies, they're going to fail. Whether there be tongues, they're going to stop. By the way, that doesn't mean they did. By the way, the tongue is not only an unknown tongue, it's just the fact the ability to speak it. Someday your mouth's going to shut up. And they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, knowledge shall vanish away. And I think about that all the time with my mom and my dad. I think all the stuff they had in their head, and it is gone. That knowledge is gone. It has vanished away. It's good, isn't it? For now, we know in part, and so we prophesy in part. We think we got it all figured out. We go, well, our denomination, our religion, we got it all figured out. But when that which is perfect come, then that which is, we got figured out in part, it's going to be done away with. Because when I was a child, I spoke as a child. How about this? When I was a baby Christian, I spoke as a baby Christian. I understood as a baby Christian. And I thought things as a baby Christian. But when I became a man, I quit acting like that and quit thinking about myself all the time. For now, we see through a glass darkly. We ain't got this thing all figured out, although we think we do. But someday, baby, it's going to be face to face. It's more real than we even understand. Now I think I got it all figured out. I know part, but I think I know it all. But I know even... I'm sorry, but then so I know, even also as I'm known. It'll be plain, man. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Man, if we could somehow live that out. I'll throw one more thing up there today. Anybody got their hand up? Well, I move on here.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
I keep getting scriptures. You guys are stirring me here on this one. And it's in 1 Corinthians 3. And you just said it. You're starting here. It says, it just starts with, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes." Uh-huh. And it talks about, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. And where envy and strife, divisions among you, are not carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and the other, 'Apollos,' are you not carnal?" But it goes down and it says, I like to go down verse 9. This is what I was thinking of when you started, and Randy kind of stirred me on this one too. And I think just with you looking at and going through this today, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And there's a question mark there. "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And then it goes on about, "Don't deceive yourself," and those things. But I think that's, you know, in times of testing, I've been surprised. And I'm just speaking for myself, just being transparent. There's been times of testing and stuff. My initial reaction has been burned up, because I reacted more in fear, or I might have reacted carnality and things. And it surprised me. But yet in other situations, I see the Holy Spirit in that kingdom, which isn't been shaken.
Amen.
It's kind of like that fight or flight, you know, it's kind of more of now, I think in the spiritual aspect, it would be more of fear or faith.
Amen.
You know, do we react in the fear of faith? And I don't know. I just, there's something there that I know the Lord's speaking to me about. It's just, we, you know, the gathering and the G1 and all the stuff that God's putting a vision on my heart here. And like, you know, like with the G1, that building, that's always been in my head. If something happened, that's a housing place, man.
Yeah.
You know,
Well,
and that's how I am. That's what God's been having me doing. You know, my situation, the devil's, he's trying to take it out, but you know, I think that preparation is what I've always looked at. It's simply scaffolding. These buildings we get, the tent, the building that God's putting on her, it's scaffolding. We don't go to a place just to watch the scaffolding. We look, it's the building.
Amen.
The scaffolding. And that's what we can look, sports, outreaches, all the stuff is simply scaffolding. The building is each one of us, and those that come to Christ, we are that building, because the kingdom of God, we're the temple, and he's building the temple. And this is the thing that, you know, this isn't my theology or whatever, but it's just a simple scratch on my big bald head, is where it talks about when the Antichrist sits in the temple, right, and defiles it.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. We're the temple of God that God's rebuilding, right?
There you go.
I wonder if when the Antichrist would, you know, defile the temple of God, the church.
Mm. Well, hang on, Tom. So let me pull up number two for me real quick here. Thanks, Tom. I got a rule here. We're the temple. Are we the one being defiled? Pull up number two.
That's what,
what's number two say? How about this one, folks? This one is deep, baby. This one's deep. I'm trying to get it up on my screen here. My computer is slow. There it is. Thank you, mate. Oh, so what's it say? John, 1 John 2:21. Kingdom of God. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. But who is that liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Think about that, folks. Huh? Who's the liar? The person that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. It's exactly what Tom says. What comes into that heart, into your own temple, right? So whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Wow.
Coach, look at Matthew 24 when he talks about those things, and that we talked about this a while back. Look at Matthew 24 verse 1. And when it goes in that, when he departs from the temple, and there you'll see right there, and go on down. Let's see. Go to the next thing, the next signs, the times of the end. There you go. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name. Now, who's speaking right there? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're saying in Jesus' name, and they call it, saying, I am the Christ. What? And will deceive many. First thing he says is, they're going to come in my name saying I'm the Christ.
Yeah, amen.
To deceive many. And that's what hits me, where you had said that. On the temple, and I think there's something to that, that I God just keeps, every time I start to point my finger, when I see someone maybe that I would consider or scripturally, your humanetics or humanetics or whatever you would call it, sin or it isn't walking right, or maybe there's some, or just by appearance, it's like God was putting those three fingers back at me. But what about you?
Saying, you the man. You the man.
It's like, no, wait a minute.
Tom, we got to run here, man. We got
to
run.
Go to it, man. God bless you.
Thanks for supporting us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you. See you on Monday morning.